What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Five Rounds Today. I am John Ramdean alongside my pal Robin Black. Coming up in the show, we'll be joined by a couple of UFC fighters, including our buddy John the Bull McDessie, who will be in action next month in Sin City at UFC Fight Night. Goes down on July 7th, taking on Mehdi Bagdad.
Maybe someone fighting for a title, maybe.
Maybe also in the show.
You just never know. That's why you have to tune in later in the show. Of course, we're talking about International Fight Week. Three back-to-back-to-back shows culminating with UFC 200. Yes, it's Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. The return of Brock Lesnar as he takes on Mark Hunt. Just a slew of great fights. I think we've neglected, though, to talk about one of the biggest fights. Certainly, if you're in Canada, you get to see it live right here on Fight Network. And if you live around the world, you get to watch it on Fight Pass. Eddie Alvarez, Rafael Dos Anjos. Eddie Alvarez, in my opinion, one of the most exciting fighters maybe ever in mixed martial arts. So we had a chance to basically showcase his career from Bodog to Dream. We did a lot of Bellator previews, and now he's fighting in the UFC. So deserved of a shot at the UFC Lightweight Championship of the World based on everything he's done in his mixed martial arts career. Just super thrilling.
You know how people like to, there's a thing in fight fans, they like to call each other noobs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're a tough noob, yes. Meaning that you just started watching a tough game. And you're a Fox noob, you know, and they like to, you can call your friend a noob if they say, oh, Eddie Alvarez is boring. Because that's out there. There are people out there saying that. Eddie, oh, man, he's a snoozer.
Aren't those same people the same people that said Stephen Thompson and Rory McDonald, that fight was boring?
Maybe so. And is it debatable as to whether or not that's boring? I mean, we're getting off topic a bit, but we always do.
We always do, okay.
Yeah. What is boring? Well, if you couldn't feel the tension of that fight, if you're bored by tension, you know, horror movies, you're like, oh my god, it's gonna, you know, it's so weird, like the swords
what's gonna happen.
I don't know, swords and sharp things, but tension, that fight was filled with tension, and that's what great fights are filled with. And I don't want to argue with somebody, I don't want to think I'm talking down to somebody when I say if you don't enjoy this fight you're missing something, because that's not 100% true either. But there are things that are exciting other than two guys with no defense. I mean, the boss,
yeah.
and O'Connell.
Steve Boss.
I mean, okay, that was pretty,
yeah, it was pretty exciting. Yeah.
But why did that happen that way? It was a disregarding of defensive choices that could have prevented that. But that's what humans do when they try to win things and not get brain damage. Anyways, the reason you can call your friend a noob if they say that Eddie Alvarez is boring is because they have only watched his last two fights. So clearly they're a noob. Absolutely ruthlessly tease your friends who will say Eddie Alvarez is boring, because one of the most, like you said, one of the most exciting fighters ever. If Eddie has, and Pollock and I spoke to him last week, crafted his game around increasing the likelihood of winning and decreasing the likelihood of drooling in 10 years.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, you have
good
to.
For him.
He's a family man.
Yeah, but also that's how you lay out the plate, the buffet of your fight. We're going to have a lot of steak here. We're going to have a lot of, you lay it out with a lot of smart choices, but there's going to be moments of insanity in every fight.
Yeah.
There's going to be moments of chaos, and he's equipped for those now because of a lifetime of excitement.
But he has a growth mindset, and I don't think every fighter has the luxury of having the tools that Eddie Alvarez has, whether that's physically or mentally. He understands that he cannot fight this way forever. He had to fight that way because he was in the lower organizations, the smaller organizations. The goal is, okay, I need to get to the UFC, because if I get to the UFC, I can be a champion, or I can get to championship status, and that's how you make the most amount of money. Yeah, he did all the things that he did to get to the UFC. Now he's facing the cream of the crop, and if he decides to not be defensively minded, he's going to find himself looking up at the lights.
And losing money.
And losing the money in the process.
Half his purse and not getting.
Yeah.
It's just reality. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that we get frustrated at in life, but you're ignoring reality. The reality is you need to win that fight. Brock Lesnar literally wants to make this into a car accident. Now, I know he's the wrestler and he wants the takedown, but he needs high impact, smash, drive fast, make it chaotic, close the distance, pound him, get on him, hit him.
Exhaust him.
Yeah, make it a car accident. Mark Hunt is because Brock Lesnar has 8 fights, and he's deprived of the skills necessary that he compensates with insane athleticism. Seemingly, an intensity that seems rage driven.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Might be. I mean, what else is going on there? Like, we don't know why this man lives in the bush, why he does the things he does. It's something.
It actually seems the opposite, though, based on the things we've seen. I don't watch TV. I hang out with my family in the woods, and I go and hunt and fish. What stress? I mean, it doesn't seem like he's got lots of money, lots of fan support. So you think when he gets inside of the cage, like, I don't ever get to do this.
Yeah.
Now is the time to
do
this.
But he seems mad. He seems like he really needs to bash somebody's head in. So because he has far less skills, and that there's a lot of things that we say at different times and different people say talking about fighting that are up for debate. There's discussion. Is this strategy work better than this strategy? It is not up for debate that in the quantity of fighting skills that Hunt and Brock Lesnar have, Hunt is infinitely more skilled than Brock Lesnar. Oh, you know, I know we just had Zach Makovsky and Mike Thomas Brown and many others are like, look, man, there is a lot of talk about, oh, his wrestling's amazing. His wrestling skills are really good, very good. For a heavyweight, and any little lapses in skills that he has, he makes up for in insane intensity and explosiveness and athleticism and drive. And it works. And that's super cool. But to overcome skill with that, you need the car accident mentality. Mark Hunt needs to fight the way Eddie Alvarez has been fighting to get to a championship level. And that's make it not a car accident. Be moving your feet. Don't get cornered by this guy. Be smart. Everything can be a light shot. You don't have to knock Mark Hunt. You don't have to knock Lesnar out with one punch. You can hit him 30 times if he never gets a hold of you. That's smart. That's movement. And, you know, whether you move in like Alvarez has been doing lately to take away space, or out, like Stephen Thompson has been doing to make too much space, it's the same concept. In the space is where the chaos reigns. Lesnar needs chaos. Hunt doesn't need chaos. Yes, he's the guy punching, but philosophically speaking,
he needs
chaos. And that's what Eddie needed to get to a point where he could win fights. You're in the open field with RDA. Maybe you'll knock him out. Maybe he'll knock you out. You know, if you're in a bunch of very scrambly scenarios, maybe you'll be on top, maybe he'll be on top. Instead, remove the space, use pressure, make smart decisions, keep your hips lower than his when you're grappling, and let's win this fight intelligently. Now, if you call that boring, maybe you can just look at it different, see different insights, have a different perspective, because there are people that call yippee-ki-yay. What movie is that?
Die Hard.
Die Hard. There are people who call Die Hard boring, but not that many of them because it's really easy to understand. But then there's people who call, you know, Academy Award winning movies boring. They're just a little more complicated. But
hold on. The English Patient was boring.
Yeah, that was very boring. Did it win an Academy Award?
Yeah, it did.
See?
A bunch.
So, and again, these parts are 100% up for debate, and debate is good.
What about the idea that both guys have left their camps? We know RDA spent time the last number of years training at Kings MMA with Rafael Cordero. We know we went to Evolve in Singapore. However, they have like a powerhouse team there, so they're trying all this cutting-edge stuff. Eddie Alvarez spent a number of years at the Black Zillions, now training in the New York area with Edson Barbosa and Marlon Reyes and Frankie Edgar.
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry, and many people just rave about this.
Yeah. Game. Hey, man, again, is Matt Hume a better coach than Firas Zahavi? I don't know, man. You bring in 20 of the smartest minds, they can discuss it in the end. 50-50 will go either way. Same thing, but Mark Henry is one of these guys. Over at Evolve, it's not just who is there. What is it? Like, are all these people brought in going, oh, man, I can't believe it. I'm making $80,000 a year to teach wrestling. I'm going to show up and teach the best wrestling I can. Do they care? Are they there for the money? Mark Henry has a love of combat sports. He has a love of striking. He has taken – it's rare when you get – we've seen it over the years. You get some brilliant jiu-jitsu guy who learns, you know, Nova, you now, brilliant jiu-jitsu people who learned to shape the rest of the game in such a way that it set up the striking. They became brilliant strikers. Mark Henry is a brilliant boxer, a brilliant kickboxer, a brilliant striker who has made the real understanding, almost pioneering-like understanding of how to fit that into combat sports. I think a lot of people think of RDA. RDA at his best, hard to beat anybody. Is RDA at his best right now? Is Eddie Alvarez at his best? Alvarez sure seems focused. This is he believes it's his time.
Well, you and I were in Las Vegas ahead of RDA's fight with Donald Cerrone, and I talked to RDA, and he just seemed so focused. He told me that his life is very, very boring because it's essentially I wake up, I go to the gym, I train my butt off, I come back and recover and hang out with my kids. Mm-hmm. I have nothing else going on because of that ultra focus of maintaining my championship status. And, you know, maybe it is a good thing to change things up and get away from your family where they may not understand the sacrifices that need to be made in order to stay at the champion, because many fighters and coaches say, you know, becoming a champion is one thing. Staying on top is something different. And if you look back at that performance against Donald Cerrone, quite remarkable how good he looked against Cerrone, against Pettis, against Ben Henderson. Just he seems to be on a different level. Now, is it circumstantial?
You don't see a lot of champions be dominant and then suddenly change everything. Go somewhere else, have a different head coach. Does he even have a head coach? Is Professor Cordero still saying, here's the game plan, work on these things? Is he taking it like, you know, that idea that I'm the best everywhere, I'll win no matter where it is, that is a very old school approach. Some people are still champions with that. He's one of them. You know, to some Demetrius Johnson dictates how and where it's going, but he believes he can beat you anywhere. John Jones believes he can beat you anywhere. But it's starting to be an older approach. I just got to get so good and be a better man on the night. All those are great theories until somebody comes along and exploits your whole game.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about John Jones. As Robin mentioned him, he'll be taking on Daniel Cormier for the Undisputed Light Heavyweight Championship of the World. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdean and Black with you. We are looking ahead to UFC 200. But coming up after the break, we will be joined by Claudia Gadelha, who will be taking on Joanna and Jacek for the UFC Strawweight Championship of the World. It's a weekend full of UFC title fights. None may be bigger than the Light Heavyweight Championship of the World as John Jones looks to recapture his title that he didn't lose to Daniel Cormier. A great rivalry, two exceptional athletes, two mental giants, one guy recognized as one of the pound-for-pound, if not the pound-for-pound best fighters in the planet in John Jones. Daniel Cormier, just a workhorse, just a guy that can will himself into any spot because he understands what it takes to achieve greatness. Will that be enough? All the work, working with Cain Velasquez, working with Luke Rockhold, mentally focused. You know that he understands the type of fighter that John Jones is. So he had to push himself harder than he had ever pushed himself before. But is that gonna be enough?
Well, he won a round off him. He won one round off him on one judge.
So do you look at it that way? I'm sort of cut you off. Do you look at that one round and say, okay, I need to do exactly that five more times?
It's definitely one way of looking at it. But, you know, at the very least, can I beat this guy? Well, I beat him in certain exchanges. I beat him in certain ranges. I beat him in certain moments. And I beat him in one round. And on a judge or two, they give him two rounds. So I have the ability to beat this guy. I've proven it in small chunks. I just need to prove it in a number of those small chunks or in the framework of a 25-minute fight or knock his ass out or submit him. But he's John Jones. And the reality is Daniel Cormier the best light heavyweight in the world or even heavyweight if John Jones didn't exist? Or is he the best? Is he better than this guy? He has to go in there and prove it, and he has to do it, and he can do it. The idea that he can't win is crazy. Yeah. Well, Jones has never lost. Well, everybody loses. You can win, but it's hard. It's hard. You don't know what Jones is. You think you know what he is, and the next time he's something else, you know, and he's mean, and he's mentally good even. He's like, I don't know if he consciously was like, I'm going to try to destabilize Cormier with things I say and do, or he's just like, I don't like this prick, and I'm just going to get them. Like, I'm going to compete with him. Who knows? But it's adding an element. But Cormier is a genius in his own right. Easy to underestimate. If we join the momentum of the audience, let's we boo him. Oh, he's not going to. He's one of the greatest light heavyweights in the world who, on the right night, wins this fight. So that's why you have to see it. They both changed a lot since then. We don't know what, you know, the Jones' OSP fight. Does that have any bearing? It shouldn't, unless Jones lets it. Cormier, on the other hand, fought Gustafson, which is basically a John Jones type, and won. So now he has 10 rounds against John Jones, 5 against real Jones, and 5 against fake Jones. So, I mean, he's in the fight.
Sure. But when you talk about the trends and the way things are happening in mixed martial arts, you talk about the movement. And with John Jones having genetic gifts, being his height and his range, mm-hmm. and his mobility, you could see how he is able to attack freely in the open field, circle, avoid mm-hmm. Daniel Cormier's barrel body. Mm-hmm. He has a wrestling background as well. And it just feels that although Daniel Cormier may be as sharp as he's ever been, that John Jones possesses that creativity mm-hmm. and the ability to learn and improvise during a live situation that may be difficult for mm-hmm. anybody on the planet to deal with.
It's true. It's true. And he may never lose if he, you know, wins a few more of these and then doesn't go to heavyweight or does forbid or retires young. But more or less everybody loses eventually.
And I say everybody loses. And this is – I was searching online to find this. A guy named Philip Miller. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Philip Miller?
I have heard.
Only because we've had this conversation. Yeah. If any of you folks are fans of fighting, Philip Miller retired as a professional in 2003 with a 16-0 record.
Didn't beat anybody, right? No real names.
No real names. Mark Weir, James Zickich, Brian Foster, and Jake Shields.
Great fighters.
Great fighters. So, yeah. You know,
I was
some
being facetious when I said he didn't beat him.
Some fighters don't lose. They understand we're at the top of the game, and it is time to bail on the sport when we're at the top of the
game.
Have
you ever heard of this guy, Floyd?
Mayweather.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
it's true. Everybody loses. It's not totally true.
Yeah.
But it's kind of true because if Floyd Mayweather fought till he was 45, he'd lose. Oh, he didn't lose at 40. 50?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, he injured his arm one time? Oh, like, if you fight forever, you will lose. But, you know, he's an exception to it. But you do – I mean, everybody can lose, and everybody loses, although not true, is kind of
You just
true.
Confused everybody. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will be joined by the strawweight title challenger, Claudia Gadelha, who takes on Joanna and Jacek. And then we'll continue our conversations about International Fight Week and the 3 back-to-back-to-back shows happening in Sin City. We are happy to be joined on the line by Claudia Gadelha, who will be taking on Joanna and Jacek at the Ultimate Fighter 23 finale going down July 8th in Las Vegas, Nevada for the UFC Strawweight Championship of the World. Claudia, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very, very well. Obviously, a huge opportunity for you to avenge this loss to Joanna and Jacek. How have you improved as a mixed martial arts fighter since the first time you faced off with Jacek?
I improved a lot, you know, since we fought the first time, and the judges gave her the fight. You know, they gave her the DW, you know. I grew up a lot as a martial artist, and I have been working very hard in everything I can to get better.
Claudia, the Novi Now team is very much a pressure fighter team. You guys like to push forward, pressure with the hands, and defend off that single leg and really make people pay. Against Joanna and against Aguilar, you got a ton of takedowns, pressured them. Are you at your best when you're moving forward and pushing another fighter back?
Yes, I think this is my style. You know, I make everybody step back, and that's the way I fight. You know, I don't like to step back inside the octagon. I like to put pressure. You know, I like to play my game. I don't like to play their game. So I'm always putting pressure.
Obviously, for a mixed martial artist, as a fighter, you want to grow in every single area, whether it's your striking, whether it's your grappling, the mental game. We haven't seen you since August of last year. How do you feel that you've grown?
I've grown a lot. You know, I can't even explain because I had almost a year mm-hmm. to train for this fight. You know, I know that I'm fighting Joanna for like 6 months or so, and I have been concentrating on this fight for all this time. You know, I have been putting all my energy in this fight, and I'm doing everything I can to get better, to improve, you know, not only my striking, but my grappling game. And I'm sure when I get inside the octagon on July 8th, I'm going to be a whole different fight.
When people are talking about you two and about this fight, there's a lot of talk about how much you dislike her and how much you two don't like each other. Is that going to help you when you go to fight, or do you have to just put that out of your mind and go in and fight her like any other fighter?
I will fight her just like any other fighter. You know, I don't like her because she's very disrespectful, you know, but when they close the gate and it's only me and her inside the octagon, I don't want to think about the things that happened, you know. I don't want to talk about the things that she did and she said because I can't lose my mind, mm-hmm. you know. I'm going to be very strategic inside the cage, you know, and I'll know what I'm doing. I'm not going to lose my mind.
But if you do get her in a bad spot and you get a chance to get a couple of free elbows in, you'll be a little meaner, won't you?
Oh, sure. I think I am meaner now. You know, I used to be a very technical fighter, you know, and I never liked to hurt people, you know. But I think to be in the top level, I have to start hurting people, you know, and it's going to feel pretty good hurt Joanna.
Was that difficult for you? Now, where did the idea of, okay, I've got to change my philosophy, instead of just being a finesse martial artist, I have to amp up the aggression. Who taught you that, or where did that philosophy come from?
When I fought her first time, you know, she was putting her fingers in my eye, you know, and I got a cut in the third round on my eyebrow, mm-hmm. and she was putting her fingers inside my cut, you know, and these are things that I would never do, you know, because I think it's dirty, you know, and it's illegal, you know. It's not a part of the game, you know. And I started to see a couple fighters doing these things, you know, and I started to think, you know, like, I can be dirty, but play inside the rules, you know. I'm not going to break the rules, but I want to be dirty, you know. I want to be dirty like they are, but inside the rules, not breaking the rules.
If you look back at that fight, I'm sure you've gone through the tape many, many times. It seems that you did get frustrated during that confrontation, because after the bell went, you did land a shot on Joanna. How important is it that you stay composed, that you don't fight out of character in this championship fight?
I think this is part of Joanna's game. You know, mm-hmm. she's not only a striker, but she's somebody that tries to get in people's mind, you know, her opponent's mind. And this is something that she's trying to do for so long, and she tried to do this for the whole season of the Ultimate Fighter season 23, and she couldn't do it, you know. So I think now she knows that she can't get in my mind. You know, I'm not weak. I've been through a lot of things to be here today, and it's not a girl that doesn't even know what she's saying that will get in my mind now. You know, so I train very hard. I do things that I'm sure a lot of people don't do it. You know, I'm always pushing myself to get better, to be one of the best fighters on the planet, you know, and I'm not going to let somebody come over and just talk shit to me and make me lose my mind, you know. So I'm ready for this, and she's not going to make me lose my mind.
When your teammate Jose Aldo fought Conor McGregor, McGregor used all of those techniques to try to get into his head. When Jose looks back, do you think he thinks that he let McGregor get into his head?
Well, he says McGregor didn't get inside his head. You know, he says that was a lucky push, you know, and that's the way the fight happened, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think Conor McGregor kind of got in his head, you know, a little bit, because he was very smart with the things that he was saying, you know, but I think Aldo learned a lot with that, you know, and he's gonna do better next time.
For this training camp, who have you been working with specifically? And clearly, you have a game plan, but can you tell us how you expect this fight to go down?
I'm sure this is not gonna be a 5-rounds fight, you know, because the way I want to fight, putting a lot of pressure on her. I mean, like, if I can't fight the way I want to fight, Joanna is going to get submitted or knocked out in the second or third round. You know, she's not going to stay on her feet. You know, my hands are very heavy, you know, and if one punch lands, she's going to go down.
What are you going to do after you win the title?
What I'm going to do? I want to eat a chocolate. I don't want to eat. Man, you know, I've been starving for like 3 months. I want to eat. I just want to eat.
Claudia, we wish you the best of luck in your title fight against Joanna and Jacek, and we anticipate a tremendous back-and-forth battle.
Thank you.
Claudia Gadelha takes on Joanna and Jacek next month in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the 115-pound title. Welcome back to 5 Rounds Today. Ram Dean and Black with you. We are looking ahead to all the action going down in Las Vegas, Nevada, starting on July 7th and then July 8th and then July 9th, UFC 200. But, of course, UFC Fight Night 90. I'm sure the UFC doesn't want us calling the numbers anymore, but we're calling it UFC Fight Night Alvarez versus RDA, which if you're in Canada, you get to watch live right here on FN. These two warriors colliding for the lightweight championship of the world. Also on the card, Derek Lewis taking on Roy Nelson.
Fine.
Alan Joban on the card, Joe Duffy and Mitch Clark, our buddy. Mike Pyle, old school guy on the card. McDessie taking on Mehdi Baghdad. As a matter of fact, John McDessie going to be joining us on the line after the break. Gilbert Burns as well. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
That's a great card, and when you've got like Derek Lewis and Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super fun. Yeah. I actually just thought of something that Claudia mentioned. Somehow, of all these 36 fights, there'll be brilliant fights we don't even talk about. And Aldo and Frankie will be one of those fights that on some level will fall underneath some of the, we better talk about it.
So let's talk about it right now.
I think that is going to be one of the ones I'm most excited to see. You want Aldo, as your appreciation of the brilliance that he has shown, you want him to be as good as he was last time he fought Frankie, and you have some worries and concerns as to whether he is that good or better, whereas Frankie we know
has gotten better. You and I were in Las Vegas when actually last year for International Fight Week.
194? 194, I believe.
Whatever the number was. The first night, the main event was Rose Namajunas and Paige VanZant. Yeah. Paige showed what she was capable of. Rose showed just how damn good she is. The following night, the main event, Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendes. We had tickets to go see Joe Rogan. Rogan hooked you up with tickets. And it's like, I don't know how long this is going to be. And next thing you know, Frankie Edgar knocks out Chad Mendes in quick time, and we managed to hop into a cab.
Yeah, we wanted to go see Joe, and would see his show and then go out for some food with him after, which was super exciting. But then I got to see Frankie fight always. And Chad Mendes, Frankie is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking at it, and it's like, whatever, let's say it's 9:50.
Yeah.
Joe's show starts at 10:15 or whatever. Yeah. And we got a cab over there. And it's like, bam, 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 boom. Chad Mendes is out. Oh, my God, oh, cool. We'll get to Joe's show as well, which as much as Joe is a genius and somebody that is a friend and is very inspiring
hilarious,
and is hilarious and incredibly talented, I'll take the best fighters in the world over any other kind of performance, even a super talent of a friend. But we got to see both.
Yeah.
We got to see both. And Frankie's just so good. And it's like Aldo has always been a fundamental genius. You know, some of the true, you know, tried and true combinations, left hook to low kick, just certain
– the basics work.
Yeah, the advanced fundamentals, lots of heart, mentally tough, physically tough, more man than most of his opponents, and true fundamentals. And that made him one of the best fighters ever. But Frankie, I think, is – you know, by the time we got to Barao losing to Dillashaw twice, we were seeing that just mastering what was there could be beaten by somebody who's really making it different. Where all of a sudden Barao is like, what's happening? I don't understand what's happening. I always win, but yet I'm being hit from these angles. Where is he? Wait a second. Two rounds go by. Your head's all busted up. You still haven't tracked him down. That's what happened to Barao twice. There's a lot of reasons to think that might happen to Aldo. There comes a point, the Nova Unau team, the Dede Pedernales, who's one of the true geniuses, built a game that was custom made to win in that sort of 2009 to 2014 half decade. And before, he was winning, they were winning before, but to own that decade. But once you own something, you build a workable strategy that is winning, then people come along and say, how do we beat that strategy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening right now. So Aldo saying, I'm going to be the old Aldo, I don't know if the old Aldo
will
wins
work
in 2016 against the new Frankie.
Now, is it a specific philosophy or maybe the way he was feeling? Maybe that Aldo is saying it was more of a mindset than anything else, because we heard Claudia say that Jose believed it was a fluke that he
Barao
got caught.
Believed that.
Right. And Sage Northcutt also believed that his fight against Brian Barberena, that was a fluke. Yeah. Now, are these – maybe it was just a fluke.
Well, I can't – Sage we cannot discuss with these greats.
Sure.
Sage is a young kid with
a
future.
Yeah, but he's a prospect.
He's a prospect.
Yes.
And he's not yet developed a full understanding of where he is and what he's doing or his potential. These are two of the greats ever. And Barao was wrong. And you don't say that with any kind of happiness to say that. He got hit with a crazy overhand right in round one, then got dominated for 20 more minutes, and then said, well, if that one fluky right hand doesn't land, I'd win this.
I'll be fine.
Goes back to the next one. It was even worse. So, and they went in with that. It's one fluke. Don't have to change anything. I got this. Totally wrong. If Aldo survived that punch of McGregor's, what if it was going to lead to 20 more minutes of domination? And there's no reason to say that it would, but there's no reason to say that it wouldn't when you're advancing the game to that. Are they the best of the 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, but not changing? Because the best – the best of most athletic years, 3 years later, if the game changes, the best football player in this era can be eclipsed by another guy. If the game has changed, and I believe it has, and Frankie is part of that change, and I believe he is, the old Aldo might not get it done.
It's going to be a hell of a fight. Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined on the line by the Bull, John McDessie. We're happy to be joined on the line by John McDessie, who takes on Mehdi Beghdad at UFC Fight Night next month in Las Vegas, Nevada, joined by the Bull. John, thanks so much for giving us the time.
Of course, man. My pleasure. You guys are always good to me.
Well, we love watching you. We love talking to you. One of the things we love most about you is your constant desire to be the best martial artist you possibly can be. Explain your evolution from the last fight to now, constantly seeing things that you're putting on social media about being true to yourself and realizing your potential. What does that mean for you?
You know, I just believe through my experience, through life in general, you know, for me, basically, I mean, to try to simplify, martial arts pretty much saved my life. Coming from childhood, you know, always in trouble in the streets, in school, you know, not really having a positive, good influence around me, you know, not really having a good direction. You know, pretty much hitting the gym, going to a martial art, going to a dojo and learning martial arts pretty much saved my life. So with that being said, it was, you know, through my life, through my journey, through competition, you know, pretty much fighting is, martial arts was pretty much my life. You know, I fell in love with martial arts because of all the, how much it brought back to me, you know, and, you know, it's always an evolution for me. You know, I make a lot of mistakes, you know, I'm far from perfect. I'm 31 years old, and I just feel like, for me to be, you know, I'm always striving to progress, you know, and I'm never satisfied in the sense of, you know, when certain things happen to me, or why do I feel a certain way, or whatever the case might be, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, trying to understand why, you know, because deep down inside, you know, it was never a working thing. It was never about my talent. It was never about my skills. It was never about those things, you know. So it's always, you know, it's amazing, you know. I mean, as long as, you know, people look at the mistakes as failures, they look at them as a downfall. But I truly believe if I don't make mistakes and I don't fail, I will never grow. And me right now, focusing on personal growth, I think will make me a better fighter and a better martial artist.
John, you talk about evolution and evolving the martial arts itself, and you look at how guys are doing right now. Stephen Thompson, how he played against Rory and owned the outside distance and made Rory chase. And we've seen that. Dominic Cruz, obviously very good at that. Holly Holm beat Ronda that way. That's something you can do very well. You can control with footwork. You can make guys make big mistakes. But yet you seem to desire the conflict of combat. You seem to want to go into those firefights. Is that something you've changed, the way you view that?
Yeah, of course, yeah. You know, I mean, I wasn't really surprised how those fights played out. You know, because, you know, people, there's so much things go behind the scenes. And, you know, as a fighter, you know, you know, how can I say this the most politically way possible? You know,
you don't have to be politically correct. You can say it any way you want to say it, brother.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to say is that people always try to control fighters. People always try to change them. People always try to look at where they're not good at, and they focus so much on the weakness. And, you know, a lot of, you know, I don't want to name names or anything, but a lot of these coaches, they mean well. They have good intentions. They just don't really have intelligence in the sense of they never really competed. They never really felt, they don't understand what it takes to get into that, to go into a high level. And not only go into a high level, but what it is to be able to pull the trigger in a pressure situation, you know what I mean? I, you gotta stay calm. There's so many factors go behind the scenes, but I'm not gonna get there, you know? But mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, I've been always trying to focus on my weaknesses so much that I kind of lost focus on my strengths. And since childhood, you know, my foundation, I mean, there's no secret. My foundation was Taekwondo, speed, unpredictability, explosiveness, you know, obviously growing up, learning new martial arts, of course, progression, learning different skills, different techniques, you know, and now I find that, I kind of jumped ship, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I kind of jumped ship, and I'm at a point in my life where I'm working, I had to kind of take control back in my, take control back of the steering wheel, you know, basically, and just kind of putting more trust in myself and trying to find the right guys around me that can make me excel, you know.
John, Rammer and I were just having a conversation before we started the show today about how the world is full of so many people that are miserable, millionaires, people that are worth $10 million and they're miserable because they're not billionaires. Do you know what I mean? So people follow that in any walk of life. You're one of the great martial artists in the world, and at times you're so worried about how you can be even better that you haven't always paused to just be great.
Yeah, exactly, 100%, yeah. Yeah, I know, that's the thing. Now, you know, the people closest to me, you know, they always have to kind of, I have to remind myself, and I have to, you know, some, you know, the people around me kind of have to remind me to don't forget, you know, who you are, don't forget your strengths and so forth, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, you know, it's crazy, you know what I mean? This is life, what can you do? Mm-hmm. It is what it is, you know. You got to take the good and the bad with the bad.
Mehdi Baghdad coming up on July 7th, John. You talk about your progression as a mixed martial artist, as a fighter. Is it something that's going to be noticeable to the fans, to the viewers at home? Will they be able to see how you've progressed? Or are we going to see the same John McDessie bull style with subtle changes in there?
Yeah, well, that's the plan. The plan is, that was the plan, to really, you know, take my stubbornness. I have to put my ego aside, you know, as much as it's hard, you know, you gotta put your ego, you gotta check your ego all the time. And as much as I wanna, you know, go out there and you know, blow for a punch, blow for a blow, and kick for a kick sometimes, you know, that's where my stubbornness kicks in. You know, I mean, everyone knows that I'm able to take shots, everybody knows that I can stand, and, you know, nobody even dropped me. The boss won't give me his best kicks and shots, and I was still standing just because my body took over and I fractured my jaw. But I fought the best guys in the lightweight division. I fought the toughest guys. You know, I mean, I fought the biggest. I fought giants. So I'm not really worried about being able to take it. I know I'm able to take it. And but that being said, the game plan is not to really, you know, take any shots. The game plan is, because of also judges, they're not really intelligent, and that's another thing I really have to. Cannot rely on the judges to understand what I'm doing in the cage. You know, a lot of people underestimate my defensive movement, you know, head movement, and the bobbing, the weaving, and all the boxing that I do. But that being said, the goal is to, you are going to see a new improved John. I did a big transition. I changed everything in my training. I changed coaches. I changed a lot of things. I've been changing a lot of stuff, and not like change for a negative, change for a positive, you know. So it's a different outlook, you know. Sometimes you need change, and just I actually changed my whole training regimen.
So you're not a TriStar right now. Who are you working with?
Yeah, so basically what happened is I got introduced to some. I was working, you know, when I had no fight schedule. I was, you know, back in the drawing board and just trying to figure things out. And I was just testing the waters, and I met some good independent individual coaches that I thought a good connection with. And I've been working with alongside the Tai Long Gym in Montreal. It's a Muay Thai BJJ wrestling. I work with individual, just different guys that have been helping my game in different aspects. You know, I've been working basically Alan Yu is Akron is a Muay Thai kickboxing champion. I've been working with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under BTT, Fabio Fernandez, and just, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it was not really about the individuals. For me, it was about working with people that kind of, we can work good communication. That was, for me, it was the key of having a good team that kind of understands my brain, because I'm not those type of guys where, you know, I'm a martial artist. I need to be creative. I need to flow. Sometimes, you know, they have to let me just be me, because if they try to control me, let me and fight a certain way, that's I don't really function like that. You know, I'm not really robotic. You know, some fighters need the direction. Me, I just need guidance and moldness and just reminders and just kind of more of love. You know, you give me love, I'll be happier as a fighter. I'll be less pressure, less stress, and I can go out there and just execute. You know what I mean? But the moment you start telling me, I got to do this, I got to do that, the pressure comes in, and then I close down. I become closed, and I don't really perform. So I'm just working around. You know, I'm 31 years old, been over eight years professional fighting, so I know what I need, and I know what I want. So just working alongside certain people, and that basically, you know, let me be me.
He is John the Bull McDessie, who takes on Mehdi Baghdad coming up on July 7th in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden. John, thanks so much for the time, and best of luck in Sin City. Welcome back to Five Rounds today. We got to wrap things up very shortly. We're talking about International Fight Week. Of course, three back-to-back-to-back shows culminating with UFC 200. Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier, the return of Brock Lesnar. He takes on Mark Hunt. Of course, the first night, the Thursday night, Eddie Alvarez vying for the UFC Lightweight Championship against RDA.
Live right here on Fight
Live
Network
right here
Canada.
On FN, that's right. We had a chance to hear from Claudia Gadelha, who will be taking on Joanna Jędrzejczyk the following night. But check out the undercard. Ross Pearson taking on the debuting Will Brooks, the former Bellator champion. Tiago Tavares taking on our guy, Du Ho Choi.
Woo!
Jake Matthews, Kevin Lee, Cesar Ferreira versus Anthony Smith, the kid that I really am high on. Just so talented.
This is the Friday night show?
This is the Friday night show. And then Gray Maynard going down to 145 pounds, his debut. And to kick things off, John Moraga, who fought for the UFC 125-pound championship. Oh. If you are a fight fan and you are in Las Vegas, do whatever you have to get to these events. Uh-huh. It is simply going to be a remarkable weekend, a week of mixed martial arts. Du Ho Choi, we have a feeling he's going to challenge for the title in the future.
Tiago Tavares, man, that's a tough one. Big jump up. Super sharp. He understands kind of the chaos. He's seeing the matrix a little bit, seeing kind of the lines of where things are going. But this is a hard fight. But make sure you hang out with us, too, all week, because Pollock and Wei are going to be down there gathering stuff. We'll have preview shows and stuff all week long. It's going to be really fun. And watch for my Brock Lesnar breakdown on the UFC channel.
Yeah, and quite remarkable, you know, when you think of the contrast of styles. And I know people are just looking at it as striker versus grappler. And, yes, those are elements. Yep. But I think it goes deeper than that. And you illustrated it perfectly in your breakdown. Is there one particular fight that you're looking forward to? Is it Eddie Alvarez and RDA for the championship?
Yeah, I love that fight, but it's all weekend long, really. I want to see Frankie. I'd love to see Aldo make us wrong and see, or just win with the fundamentals. Just win with greatness of fundamentals. That would be really cool to see. But Jones and Cormier, that's to cap it off. I'm going to get really drunk for that fight.
It is going to be an awesome week. That is it for us. On behalf of Robin Black, our producer Matt Sargent, I'm John Ramdean. Thanks so much for tuning in to Five Rounds today. We'll see you guys next time.